48. Watch the throne. The customized Ubriquian space yacht dropped out of hyperspace, flanked by a complement of six Z-95 headhunters, all of them materializing at once into the void immediately outside the short-range detection systems of Coghive 7. For a moment, nothing seemed to move. The Minstrel-class yacht, christened Star Jewel, appeared to hang suspended almost lazily in space, as if evaluating its options. Opulent to the point of obscenity, the Jewel was as lethal as it was extravagant. Its optimized CL-14 hyperdrive motivator had made the journey from Hutt space through the trialist trade route almost too swiftly for the purposes of its owner, who had expressed emphatic interest along the way in building an even greater appetite in the Kell dragons he'd kept chained in his throne room. When they'd left Nalhutta, the dragons were already hungry. By the time the hyperdrives settled into silence, the creatures were literally drooling on the throne room floor. Now, seated before the great transparasteel dome in all his vast draconian majesty, Jabba Dasilogic Teur turned from his beloved dragons to gaze outward into the vast expanse of nothingness, none of which belonged to him, although he felt right at home here. It hadn't been too terribly long ago, really just a few short centuries, since he'd relocated his base of operations to the Ba'omar Monastery on Tatooine, and he was still young enough that such unexpected jaunts across the galaxy appealed to the daring side of his nature. Everything had gone as expected. There was no sign of the target that had brought them here, not yet, although there was no rush. The Jewel's crew, the usual entourage of slave girls, carnivorous pets, and cutthroat enforcers, Trandoshans, Gran, and Gamorreans, made the final preparations for their own dark business here, an opportunity that Jabba, having come so far, had no intention of letting slip away.
Ramp down the turbo lasers.
He activated the comlink to the Jewel's bridge, where his pilot and second-in-command, Scuppa, had sequestered himself for the duration of the trip.
Power all systems down to silence. I want no detectable heat signature from the ion engines until my signal.
The order had the expected results. Seconds later, Scuppa himself appeared in the throne room, expressing himself with characteristic bluntness.
I don't like this.
Scuppa, my boy, come closer and join the party.
Beckoning the pilot toward himself and the rabble surrounding him, Jabba grinned.
Surely you don't think you're better than us?
I never said...
Good. Squeamishness is for the weak.
Jabba waved him over, taking perverse delight in the pilot's reluctance. It wasn't that Scuppa had any qualms about mingling with the exotic concubines, pirate muscle, or low-level hangers-on that were currently amusing themselves, taunting the Kell dragons. He simply wasn't comfortable being away from the ship's navigational system when they were this far off the trade route. After all, one never knew what trouble one might run into in the Outer Rim.
We won't have to wait long now.
It's a mistake to power down the turbo lasers. If the prison barge gets the drop on us...
They won't.
Jabba reached down for the bowl beneath his hookah and drew out a Clatooine paddy frog, dropping the unfortunate creature live and squirming into his mouth.
I've already dispatched the Star Jewel's guard to locate them before they find us.
Another bad idea.
Scupper's lower lip reshaped itself into an even more displeased moo.
With the headhunters gone, we're already more exposed than ever.
Relax, Scupper. It's almost time. Sit down. Enjoy the show.
He gestured to the open area directly below his throne. The pilot remained standing in the open hatchway while two of Jabba's bodyguards, a psychopathic Gamorrean war criminal and a dwarf Oskin Bloodeater, thrashed in mortal combat across the floor in front of where Jabba himself was seated, just outside the reach of the Keldragons. Within a few seconds, the Bloodeater had slashed open the Gamorrean's face and latched onto him to feed. Already Jabba felt himself growing bored, restless in the way that all too often characterized the final moments before he allowed himself the full gratification of settling the business at hand. Today, that business was revenge. Over the past 3 years, the credits that he'd lost to Iram Radik's arms sales had metastasized from a minor annoyance to an intolerable insult. Even so, Jabba had been prepared to absorb a certain degree of indignity, at least temporarily. In his almost 600 years of experience as a crime lord, he discovered that men like Radik rarely lasted long enough to bother with. Even when they took ingenious measures to protect themselves, like disappearing into the woodwork of Coghive 7, as Radik had, it was simply a matter of time before they backed the wrong army, allied themselves with the wrong crime syndicate, sold guns to the wrong separatists. After a meteoric rise in reputation, they invariably disappeared without a trace, never to be spoken of again. Jabba, in his great leniency and mercy, had decided that he would stand by and allow Radik to fall victim to his own success. For the time being, he would continue to send his men into the prison as guards to discover the armed dealer's identity, but nothing more. But things had changed on Coghive 7. As of yesterday, they had changed very quickly indeed. Of course, Jabba hadn't been personally attached to any of the lackeys he'd sent into the prison undercover, but to stand by and allow his own people to be slaughtered, ripped apart, and devoured by the inmates of the prison, while the prison's female warden stood by grinning like a monkey lizard, was an affront to the very pillars of his authority. Watching his foot soldiers being destroyed, Jabba had made up his mind that if he couldn't put Iram Radik out of business, then he would simply destroy Coghive 7 completely. Ultimately, it would prove both simpler and far more gratifying. And he'd realized immediately how to do it. An alarm sounded on the control panel beside his throne, the signal of an incoming transmission from the pilot of one of the headhunters.
Transport ship in sight,
the pilot reported back.
We're closing in on her now.
Jabba saw Scuppa straighten up in anticipation, while down below the throne, the Bloodeater finished its meal to the scattered applause of the others. The Gamorreans and Trandoshans were as eager as he was to get on with their true business at hand.
Get to the armory,
Jabba told them.
Suit up.
He turned to Scuppa.
You should be relieved, my friend. I'm going to let you reactivate your turbo lasers.
Within minutes, the prison transport barge Purge had drifted into attack range. Although Jabba had ordered Scuppa to ignore any request from the Purge's captain to identify himself. Failure to respond to the prison barge's hailing frequency had resulted in the anticipated result. The barge had brought its own weapon systems online, under the assumption that the Star Jewel was a pirate vessel or worse.
I'm speaking to the captain of the unidentified space yacht.
The voice of the Purge's captain through the intercom sounded strained with impatience.
You are in a designated approach corridor for prison transport to Coghive 7. Identify yourself at once, or you'll be fired on.
Scuppa's voice, equally anxious, crackled through the Jules comlink.
Jabba, how much longer?
Easy, friend.
Jabba waited, a smile writhing over his lips, saturating his entire face with the pleasure of impending attack. Silently counting off the seconds, he peered out the dome, yellow eyes gleaming with excitement as he gazed out on the purge. Down below, the Trandoshans and Gamorreans had gone to the armory to suit up and prepare the weapons. The throne room was almost empty, except for the dragons.